I think what happens, friends, in the West, it's difficult to sometimes see the real power of God. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. But if you come to India, you see everywhere. You have to, because even on the road, you have to drive by faith, and it just doesn't work. Things are so muddled up. But when you start talking to people about Jesus in villages or in real prayer meetings and so forth, you see the power of darkness suddenly, and then you can see the power of God as well working. Here, the meeting has already taken place in there. And I was talking to my cousin, brother, my uncle's son, and they said that there were many, many people, new ones. Every Sunday they are coming because they bring their relatives. You know, those who come to know Jesus, they see people tormented by the evil spirits and so forth, people ill, they're poor, they have no medicine, there's no clinic, no doctors are there, they're very expensive and so forth. So they say, well, bring them. And that's true. When people have nothing, they come to the Lord. And they bring them to the church, and he was saying, yeah, every Sunday, the evil spirits go out, people come, the Lord heals people, people's prayers are answered. The following Sunday come there, they stand in line, they want to thank the Lord. So they have to teach them to say in one line or two lines what the Lord has done. And I'm thinking, wish we could see, in this country as well. I think we are too intelligent here, isn't it? Yeah, the Lord, yeah, the Spirit of God, you know, is the thing. This guy thinks too much of himself or herself. So, yeah, let them use their brain. I won't work here. No, but you know, we don't see those kind of things happening here. But friends, we know that we are, the power of darkness is quite, you know, it prevails in many, many areas of our nation and in the world. And we know as Christians, when we love the Lord and we know some of the things happening, some of the things we see and so forth, and our hearts are painful when we see them. But never lose your heart. Why? How can we make a difference? By practicing what we have sung. You know what I mean? We Christians, we don't tell lies, we sing. Don't we? Yeah? It's true. I'm also a part of you. And so I have to remind myself, you know, sometimes we sing those choruses. Let's raise our holy hands. So people will say, my hands were not holy, so I didn't lift it up. But suppose, well, if you're singing, let's raise our hands up. You know what I mean? You understand what I mean? When we sing, raise our hands, our holy hands. Well, if they're not holy, then make them holy. Lord, please forgive my sins. Lord, please. And the Lord will immediately cleanse you. Then you can lift it up. In seconds, you can lift it up. So I'm only saying it. It's a saying someone has said, you know, Christians don't tell lies. They sing it. So, but how do you make a difference? By what we have sung. Proclaiming to people about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. Introducing people to Jesus. Introducing Jesus to people. That's how we make a difference, friends. So when Jesus said, here, someone has said, I think T.H. Huxley, he said, the great end of life is not knowledge, but action. Another quotation is from Benjamin Franklin. If you were not to be forgotten, as soon as you are dead and rotten, either write things worth reading or do things worth the writing. We got to do something in this life, friends. God has a purpose for each one of us. And anything we do for Jesus counts for eternity. So what we have read, the background of this was that the angels were there, two angels were there. The ladies had gone. Jesus had died a few days before. He was buried. His body was kept there. The ladies had seen and they came. They wanted to apply some spices and so forth to keep his body intact or whatever for a while. And when they came, they saw two angels sitting and they said, this is what they said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 6 and 7. He is not here, For he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Come, see. And then it says in verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. The angels, you know, they're amazing. They didn't say, well, he's risen. No, they said, come. See for yourself. Experience it. And then go quickly. Go and tell his disciples. Because they have been told several times by the Lord what was going to happen. He had to die and come back to life again and this and that. But they couldn't understand it. So the angels had to tell the ladies, please go, see first, and then go quickly and tell them. And then, later on we read that the Lord met them in Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. So he had asked them to come there. And so they met him there, and then just before he was taken up to heaven, he told them, he gave them this commandment. Some of the observation we can look into it, friends, you know. I look at, what do we observe and see in this, what Jesus said? Number one, he said you would ask, what is the Great Commission? Okay, this is it. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, Matthew chapter 28 and verses 17 through to 20. Usually they say 18 to 20, but 17 through to 20. Because a lot of the time people leave this one out when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Friends, this is the very vital stuff to remember. That Jesus is in control. When he gave his life. And another thing we need to preach is the triune God. Our God is one in three persons. When I talk to Muslim friends, I say, hang on a minute. You know, listen, God is in three persons. We don't understand it fully, but we know that God was never alone. God was never alone. He was. God the Father was always in the fellowship with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The three were together. One God. Our mind is such a little thing, isn't it? Some of you got bigger head, so maybe more intelligent. Mine is not that big. It's like computer thing, isn't it? And the chips they're making it, but still, you know, the little chip can't contain so much. It can only hold certain amount of information about God. And so we don't have to understand everything. But if you don't understand everything, let's make sure that we don't misunderstand. And I think that we don't preach one God in three persons. I have discussion with people, say, oh, God died. God the Father, where was he? But listen, God the Father didn't die. God the Son died. Because God is one in three persons. Jesus is the one, our Savior, who died willingly. God the Son gave his life willingly. He loved the Father so much. His fellowship with the Father was so much. He said, I will go and take human form. And I will give my life. I will pay the price. I will atone. I will give the sacrifice. I'll pay the price so that, you know, the creation can be brought back to God. Can you see this? So all authority, after Jesus came back to life again, oh, God loved him so much, he gave all authority. Hey, listen, it's the Son. And the Holy Spirit was involved as well. Holy Spirit was hovering over the water, surface of the water. And God spoke. Bible says Jesus is the Word. God spoke, Jesus, through Jesus everything has been created. And when he came on earth, he limited himself, he emptied himself just for a while. But he was still God and man. You understand what I'm trying to say? Willingly, so that he could take the death, pay the price. After Jesus came back to life again, brothers and sisters, he has all authority. And no wonder, little children in India, by faith, once they have given their heart to Jesus, they say, "You God, you're suffering." To their grandmother, to their father, mother, brother, sister, if they've got evil spirit, they pray, "In Jesus' name I command you, leave this body." Children, brothers and sisters, I wish you could see that in India. It happens right in front of me. Why? Because Jesus has got authority. In his name, a lot can happen. And that is why he said, remember, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, I send you. Go and make disciples of all nations. Not only good looking people or white people or yellow people or whatever. All nations. Nations, different people group. You know what I mean? Even in this nation, like United Kingdom, we've got different nations, haven't we? Irish people, a different nation, people group. The Scottish, when I came to know Jesus and OM team used to come, Operation Mobilization Team, I thought they all were the same. And I said, "You guys are from England, but you speak funny English." I meant different English. So they said, "Well, because we're different." And then thinking, "They look the same to me. All white." Well, it's ignorance, isn't it? It has taken time. Many times when I came to this country, I just said, "Well, you're English, aren't you?" I mean, I'd say that to a Scottish brother or sister or Welsh or someone. They won't stone you to death, but they'll say, "Hang Solomon, I'm not English. I'm Scottish. Hey, Solomon, I'm not a Scottish, I'm an..." So we had different groups, people groups, different nations within, different nations. There's one human race, but different ethnic groups. It's only one human race, friends. In the Old Testament, there were two, isn't there? Gentiles and Jews. But in Jesus, it became only one human race with different people groups, ethnic groups. And Jesus says, "Hey, listen, all authority has been given to me." And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The Lord made it simple. He said that there's only one human race, different ethnic groups. So go. I have got the authority. I have done everything which was supposed to be done. I came in this world to make it a bit clearer and simpler. So I have got the authority. I give you. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Friends, it's very important to emphasize the Trinity, Trinity of the Lord. And teaching them all that I have taught you. Last week we have celebrated Pentecost Day, isn't it? All right, let me talk about this, a couple of more observations, yeah? Okay, so in the Great Commission, Jesus reminds us of his authority. Second thing is in the Great Commission, Jesus instructs us to make disciples while we are going throughout the world and while we are going about our daily activities. And so we are supposed to make disciples. How do we make disciples? We share the gospel, isn't it? We preach the gospel, we share the gospel, we communicate the gospel. We live the gospel so people can see in our lives and they can ask questions and then we share the gospel. And that's how they believe in Jesus. And then when they believe, then we tell them, "Listen, you've got to be baptized." It's a kind of, first thing is command from the Lord. And another thing is, so it's a kind of, it helps us to be a witness. You know, to take a stand. There must be some mystery in this. But of course, when we are baptized, we publicly declare that, listen, as Jesus publicly died for me, he paid the price. He was hung on the cross. When he died on the cross, I put my trust in him that I also died with him. Well, if you are dead, you need to be buried. So when, you know, and Jesus was buried as well. He was, you know, so we are buried. We go under the water, we are buried. The old life is gone. Then we come out of the water to live a newness of life, full of the Holy Spirit. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we live a life which will be a kind of example for others, which will show that now I live in the power of Jesus. I live as a different person. That's it. The Lord gave this thing for a purpose, isn't it? And then, of course, friends, teaching them all that Jesus commanded. And it's very important. And we'll see it, why is it important. And then, thirdly, for the Great Commission, Jesus enables us with the power of the Holy Spirit and assures of his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us until the end of the age. See, everything is given to us on a plate, friends. Jesus has got authority. He sends us. He saves us. And then he sends us. And he says, listen, I give you the Holy Spirit. Didn't he tell his disciples, you know, stay in Jerusalem until, you know, I send you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes, which my Father promised ages ago. And you know what the Holy Spirit came, what happened to the disciples. Same Peter who denied three times. They were sad and really very scared of other people. And God, you know, the angel had to tell the ladies, you go and tell them, they're hiding somewhere, that he's alive. When the Spirit of God came, friends, what happened? They were full of power, strength, unusual knowledge, extraordinary. You know, changes took place in their lives. Then Peter spoke boldly. 3,000 people were added. They also were filled with the Spirit. Gordon was taking our meeting last Sunday. Praise God. I always love the way he speaks things, shares things. And I said, he said, we're baptized when we give our heart to Jesus. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Why? Because most of us leak, don't we? Don't we, friends? You know, I had a little disagreement with my wife last night. You know, she said something and then I retaliated a bit and then, you know, and then I think, I couldn't sleep last night very well. So I'm sharing with you my heart. I'm a preacher, but the Lord has to teach me a lot of things in this life. So in the morning, I apologized to her. Apologized to the Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Strengthen me. I have leaked out. Fill me so that I can share with my brothers and sisters that this life is full of struggle and challenge. When we go about, the greatest challenge we have is how to live with one another, how to love one another. It's easier to love the Lord, friends, but it's very difficult to love one another, especially when we disagree on things. But it's not impossible. And that's why the Spirit of God has come. Yeah, the Spirit of God kept poking me. I could have done that last night itself, but I didn't want to, you know. I said, no, I'll go alone tomorrow for preaching. I'll tell her, you know, she can stay with Mom. I'm sharing my heart with you, okay? This is what the devil does. So unless you apologize quickly and sort things out, you will be in trouble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we sort things out. Everything is okay. The Lord has filled me. Joy of salvation is back. Like that. And this is what God said. I will be with you. If he's not with us, friends, we'll be in trouble. The Spirit of God is always with us. So that he reminds us. He corrects us. He helps us. He fills us. He gives us the joy. He gives us the sorrow. He gives us the encouragement. He also blocks things. You know, he guides us in different ways. You know, the things which are not right, he stops it. The things which are right, he pushes us in. Hallelujah. I think it's sad for our brother and people to say hallelujah, isn't it? That's what God does. The reason is, the Lord said that you need to teach all that I have taught you is this. You remember Pentecost Day was a celebration. There were three special celebrations. Pentecost was born. It was the time when people brought things God has blessed them with. Crops and this and that, all sorts of stuff. All right? But it was also an occasion to praise the Lord for that they had received Torah or the law. It's not God had given them, but it was kind of that, oh, we received it. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. Why? Torah was not good for God. It was good for us. It's the basic principles about our life. God had given basic instructions which were good for people. And they had to thank the Lord for that. And then also bring what they had received in a material way. And whatever they had produced, they had worked for it. And they had produced, they wanted to bring it to the Lord. God had given them eternal word. And also blessing. They enabled them to grow crops and this and that. And bless them. And so God wanted them to bring that to God. And say thank you to him. So when Jesus said, you remember when Jesus said that when the devil was tempting him to make bread out of stones? So what did Jesus say to him? It's written that man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say that man shall not live by bread. Bread alone. Both are needed. And both God provides, doesn't he? Anything you've been able to do in your life, through your job, through your brain, through your, you know, money, through your land or whatever, it's God's blessing because God has enabled you. But more than that, when Jesus said, but by every word which comes from the mouth of the Lord, what sustains this universe, what sustains you and me is the word of God. The instructions from God. The word of God, Jesus. He is our sustainer. He's our spiritual food. And so we thank the Lord. And we tell people as well. We teach all that the word of God is important. And also it's important for people to be thankful and to bring their lives first, to believe in Jesus, and then the rest follows. And this is the commandment. Okay? That we need to go and share the gospel with people about Jesus, that he came back to this world, came in this world. He died for our sins. He died for their sins. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried. He came back to life again. He's paid the price. So all we have to do to come and confess our sins, confess to God, confess to each other, if we have wronged each other, then turn around, repent. Repent means turn around from those wicked, the things we used to say, the things wrong things we used to think, and the things we used to do, wrong things we used to do. We need to turn away from them. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be helped to live a life. It doesn't mean that we won't fall, we won't make mistakes. We will. So I shared with you what, you know, about praise. So praise the Lord. It's important. That's how we encourage one another. And that's what Jesus said. Teach all that I have taught you. So people will be able to not just believe, but be sustained by following, not believing in Jesus, but following his instructions. And then when we follow, we teach others. The more we teach others, the more we witness others, the more we bring people to Christ, the more mature we become, the more joy we have. Friends, when we get married, we want children, don't we? Yeah? But usually, unless people are, you know, they marry too late, the desire is to have children. When we become Christians, why don't we have desire to have spiritual children? Wouldn't it be nice, friends, when we lead at least one person a year, and then when we go to heaven, we'll see some of these kids running around, mature, like angels. They'll be flying around as well, like us. You know what I mean? That is important. So this is what it is. The commandment is to go. Not just to believe in him, but go and preach the gospel. Make disciples. To make disciples, we need to spend time with people. Teach them. Baptize them. Then teach them all that the Lord has taught us. All that we learn. And this is a basic principle in India. Everyone who comes to know the Lord, they're supposed to bring another person to Christ and teach that person all that they know. And then that person is responsible to teach the importance of bringing another person to the person he brings to Christ or she brings to Christ. So there is no mass things moving. Friends, it's one by one. One by one. That 16-year-old girl who had the bike, she's led so many people to Christ. And she teaches them how to win other people for Christ. That's how it happened. Shall we sing the last hymn then? And the last hymn is do we still have time to think? Or, I know when you have me here, you got all Indian time, isn't it? Okay, 133. There are a lot of things in life, friends. It's difficult for us to do. But anything which is difficult to do, we put it in Father's hand. So 133, Father, I place into your hands, okay? It's a very, very nice one. Always very encouraging for me. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do, and so on. Okay? 133.